strategic plan. I don't. You know, it's like...
maybe you do and you don't know it.
Maybe I do. And or I don't know. Is gardening a strategic plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like I know it's... We know we're going to water. We know we're going to weed. We know we're going to
fertilize
the good... you're right. So if that's strategic, yeah, we're strategic. Because I feel like we're gardening. And you're... I love it when these guys get and have these words. It's like, oh, I was feeling that. Or, oh, that's what you just said. I heard that. You know? I think that's awesome. I was talking to you last week about my experience with that other office and how just it, like, wow. And I had these conversations. I found myself in a couple conversations this week with people. Not necessarily what I'd call leaders, but, you know, about that, about just the enjoying just these powerful places that had such an encouraging, hope-filled culture. It's like, wow. And it was interesting. I had these mixed responses. But the most prevalent one was, I have to synthesize it down to, was, well, good luck with that kind of stuff. And in fact, there was, but it was done in a way that it was like, because it's Dave's responsibility and he'll never change kind of thing. You know, there's always a deferral to, well, yeah, but these people we work with, boy, they'll never get it. So, see what they did? They made it somebody else's problem to build a powerful, good, encouraging culture. And I would bring up, I said, yeah, but in fact, one guy is sitting in my office across my desk, and I said, right here, though, we're right here, you and I, we can make this that culture right now. And he went, okay. So I was thinking about that thing about how we deflect, to make it somebody else's problem to kind of fix this. Or the reason I can't be better.
Victim.
Yeah, it's kind of like because of you. And it's interesting because, you know, I want to be in that environment, but I also want to be in the environment where, you know, Shelley says, "Oh, I just want to go hang out with Danny." I want that. I want her to want to be a part of this, and so I'm motivated by that. Oh, Shelley's here, and if Shelley doesn't want to be here, like I found out, you know, somebody said something on text, and Shelley doesn't really want to be here. Now I'm like, oh, she doesn't, does she? Right. All of a sudden, I find myself acting like that person in my office, and making it
offense.
I'm offended. I'm irritated that wait
a minute.
You don't want to be here. And it's like
shocker.
You know, your mom and I had this conversation last night about our, you know, something. I said, oh, look at this. I felt that's an offense with somebody. It's like, no, it's not. It's like, well, I think it is. There's something that we allow ourselves to be, I'm okay, but that person's...
Right.
Messed
right.
up.
That person's, yeah, we have this, probably more than we want to suggest. We have this thing inside of us, this self-justifying thing.
Yeah.
That's, it probably drives more of our life than we care to admit. Of I'm okay, but poor you, right? And we end up, we pull out our resume, you know, like, oh, here's all the reasons I'm okay, and it's that person,
right?
And we justify our actions, we justify our opinion of that person, we just justified our offense, and probably in the process we demeaned them, so we feel okay that they chose not, well, they shouldn't be with us because. So here you go. People critical of us. Oops. Paul says this. He experienced this, right? Philippians 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Mm-hmm. Right? He had a bunch to be, you would say, proud of. He had a pedigree. He had this track record. His religious standing, you might call it, was impeccable, right?
Yep.
And he goes on, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Right? So Paul makes this contrast, a righteousness that comes from the law and a righteousness that comes from God, one that's depending on his faith. Okay? You could say it's earned, and one's a gift, right? One was based on his efforts, and the other had nothing to do with his efforts. It was all based on God's, right? One you could suggest had to do with getting. The other had to do with just
receiving,
right? One was, I've got to do something, take action here. The other one was rest, and the action's been done, right? You can call it faith. In fact, Paul goes on to say, to live in that way where, you almost call it to be unoffended and not jarred by the criticism. In fact, not ruled by it, not governed by it, not changing your strategy by it, right? He says it's absolutely impossible to do that without faith. Okay. So what's he talking about? So I was thinking this. Faith is vertical. Okay? Faith is vertical. Remember the two questions? Who is he? Who am I? Who is God? Who am I? And what is this relationship that we have together? Right? Do I know who I am in his eyes? Right? So faith is, I'm trusting that everything I need, everything I long for, I have because of what Jesus has already done, what Jesus has accomplished for me. You could say, here's my tank, and I'm okay because he's still putting everything I need in my tank. Everything in my heart tank, my mind tank, everything in my dream tank, my passion tank, my gifting tank. He's filled it, right? Now, that's faith. Faith is knowing that he's filled my tank, okay? Now, love, on the other hand, is not this way. In Paul's words, love is this way. Okay? So now, because Jesus has done everything for me, because he's filled my tank, right? There's because of my faith, right? Now I can do for you without taking from you. What's happening? I don't need you to fill my tank. It's already full. I don't require your approval, your justification, your acceptance, your nice fluffy words, right? Right? So here, maybe we did this one. You could say faith What's my faith doing? I'm getting his love worked into me. Faith is his, is God working his love into me. Got it? So I'm filling up my tank. All his love. Right? So what's faith? So now what love is, right? Love is me working out my faith. Right? Faith, love in. Faith, love in. Oh my gosh, I'm getting my love tank filled. Right? Love, faith out. Right? I'm like this pipe that's just hooking into heaven. Right? Guess what happens? If I disconnect that, there's nothing to flow out. Okay? So the implication of that, if I is to the degree that love is missing in my relationships, what's missing?
Yeah.
Paul says, faith is missing, right? Because faith is everything I need. Boom, he's resourced me. Everything, my whole tank is satisfied because of him, right? So now, so if I'm not trusting in everything that I need coming from Christ, lack of faith, then I'm looking to take from you, because my tank's going to get filled. So if that's the case, then I'm going to take from you, right? Lack of love, right? So I'm concentrating on what I need, not what you need, right? My eyes aren't looking for, hey, what can I do to change this circumstance? I'm looking for, what can you do for me? And by the way, that's a whole lot more than just a church relationship. That's every relationship. Right? You fix this one, you have fixed every relationship in your life. Every single one. Spousal ones, ones with your kids, ones with work, right? And if I, and when I know, when I'm anchored in this place where I know I'm in his love filling me, right? All of a sudden, I lose my reference point for complaining. Because I'm just enjoying being loved by him. I am totally satisfied. I am, you know, the scripture we're talking about, it's like, this is how I know what, this is what contentment looks like. Wow, he totally loves me. Whoa, he totally accepts me. I can literally, the Bible tells us, here it is, when I know that love, I can live unoffended. That to me, that's a great journey to be on. You know, you can go look in the mirror, ask yourself how you're going on that. But it's his grace that opened up this door for us to see this love, to connect with it, right? It helps us, it's his grace that helps us see from the perspective, heaven's perspective is actually like envisioning yourself living like that, right? That's what we talked about last week, the apostolic voices and the prophetic voices. We're actually speaking of, like, what is that? Seeing that person in that relationship, pastoring them in that, teaching them in that, healing them when there's bumpy things happening, right? But we can do this. Oh wow, you spoke Genesis 1. We can do this because we're created in his image, right? The ability to be hooked in by faith, the ability to know that he is totally in love with us, connected with us, so we can be lovers, is all because we're created in his image. So Genesis 1. How many God sets were there? I never looked at them all. There's seven? Okay. Right? So Genesis 1 in the beginning. Right? So then God said. So here's one of the God sets, right? Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Right? God said. Right? He tells us. He said, we were created. How were we created? He tells us. One of them was, we were created in his image. Okay? We were, so you could say we're of his kind.
Yeah.
Okay? So we know that we're beings with body, mind, and spirit. And here's the thing that separates you from every other created thing on the planet. We have this unique capacity to connect with God. Right? All creation, you were created for relationship with Him. Nothing else in all of creation, you were created for relationship with Him, to connect with Him, right? Because you're in His likeness. Or excuse me, you're in His image. But also it says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, right? So I would say we share His nature, okay? So we have the capacity to love like Him, to be passionate like Him, to be complete like Him, to be joy-filled like Him. We have the capacity to be as righteous like, and the list, you could fill the list up, right? So now, because of my ability to connect with Him and have a relationship, because of we share His nature, right? Now, all of a sudden, every transaction in life, every action I take today, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to interact with beyond, all of that is based on His nature. Right? My ability. So I can love like Him. I can be joyful like Him. I could be compassionate like Him. Right? It's like, wow. I can do this because I'm made in His image, of His likeness. And then He tells me to have dominion. In other words, take that, be strong in that. Lead in that, right? And when I see broken relationship that doesn't share that model, when I see people that, you know, and my dominion kingdom strategy that He's given me is, show them what faith is so they know what love is. And when they know what love is, guess what they can do with us? Connect. And be relational with us. Right. So our whole simple gospel message is, show them faith, demonstrate love. Show them how to get their love tanks filled so they can be lovers. Right? That's the dominion part. We're just helping people connect with Him so they can connect with each other. Oh, I love that, right? right. So what are we doing? We're learning. That's heaven's reality. That's the heaven's perspective. So we're learning to see with heaven's perspective. Remember, we talked about that. We're learning to walk in that. We're learning to, what does it look like to release that reality to people around us, right? So then you got this creepo Satan. What's his job? his job is to change your mind about that truth. Okay? So God says, in my image, so you were created to connect with me so you can love like me. Okay? So Satan comes and says, boy, if I could just break this perspective, you're agreeing with this perspective, boy, if I could get you to agree with this other one over here, right? Why we call it repentance is changing your mind. What have we done? Repenting? We're going back to our designed perspective. We're going back to the designed image. We're changing our mind. What happened? I disagreed with this. Oh, repent. I'm changing my mind back to His perspective, to His reality, okay? Right? So here we go. Satan's one job is to get you to break that. Disagree, come over here, do it this way. Okay? And he's going to do that because if he can get us to believe something else about our identity, right? Right. He's going to try to get us to agree with a lie, right? And remember what we've said before? When we agree with the lie, we empower the lie. Remember, agree, jazah, how am I seeing? That Hebrew word, the word for agreement, to see. Just want to change the way you're seeing. That'll come back in just a second. All right, Genesis 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then in Genesis 3, verse 1, he says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Mm-hmm. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. All right. What just happened? Right? Satan just tricked us into seeing differently. Okay? We shifted from letting him see for us, for us to be the one seeing. We shifted from heaven's perspective, right, to an earthly perspective, right? Because what was the thing that Eve said, I'm choosing to know right and wrong, to know, right? So rather than living from the tree of life, right, that gave them their very breath, what they choose, control, right? God's created design that we would be dependent on him totally, okay? Totally dependent on him, right? The life that I display is God's life. I'm doing, being, seeing, releasing what he's doing, right? God's life, right? And with that, I'm to be satisfied, right? So what does Satan want? He has one game plan. Steal their identity. Mm-hmm. Have them look somewhere else for their affirmation. Mm-hmm. Have them look somewhere else for their love. Take them away from the resource of heaven. Mm-hmm. Right? What were Adam and Eve walking in? They were walking in faith. They were like, everything about me was learning to be totally reliant on, dependent on this. Satan comes in and says, you don't need this to fill your tank. You can fill your tank.
Right.
Right? So he comes up and he says, he takes away, he's like, you don't need this. We can takes away that resource of heaven. Right? So what's he doing? Here's two things that's happening. Right? Sort of like sequentially. The first thing that Satan's doing, his plan to stop you from walking in this kingdom perspective, to stop you from living in this kingdom of heaven reality, right, is to get you to question that first question of, who are you? That first question of, are you known as his son? Are you really God's son? Are you really connected with him? His first accusation is always going to be pointed at, right, your position with him, right? So if he could just get you to challenge, right? Challenge your this relation, this connection, relational mm-hmm. connection that you have with the Father, right? That's his first thing. Doesn't always win at that one. We go, right? So his second one, right? It's like has to do with this, you know, we want to, God says, be about repentance. Hey, you've been walking out of agreement with me. You've been walking out of agreement with my design. Repent, he says, repent, come back into agreement with me, right? So one of the things that Satan does for us is we have this I would call it a religious spirit, but it's basically it's like we live under this notion that we can maintain this relationship with him if I pray enough, if I fast enough, if I read the Bible enough. I'll be more of a son if I go to church enough. Right, and so we're getting back to that thing of what Paul was saying. Hey, it's not by your performance, it's not by your resume, it's not by all those other actions, right? It's by literally, it's like, it's just resting in your acceptance as a son and a daughter, resting in the acceptance of he receives me just like I am. He loves me totally right now, right? And what we end up doing in the church is we end up saying, hey, because of this, you've lost your position as son because of sin, right? I just would like to tell you and foot stomp it. He's a good father. He doesn't dangle sonship over you and say, oh, not a son today, mm-hmm. right? To change and then I'll let you be my son again.
Right.
What a cool, how many scriptures do we need to read to you to say that God doesn't operate that way?
Right. But how many scriptures has it been told to us that
he
is like?
Right.
We
take things out of context. We take so much out of context. It's like, wait a second. Now, does that mean that our kids are always walking in agreement with heaven's perspective?
No.
No.
Right? And so what do we do? Apostolic voices, pastoral voices, encouraging voices, teacher voices, right? We love on them,
yeah.
pour into them, mm-hmm. help train them, we help wash them, we help build them, mm-hmm. we remind them, here's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But we, for goodness sakes, we never go, you're dead to me. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
You're not my son. And so this, we've allowed over time these religious activities, these performance mindsets to come in and say, get better so God will accept you as a son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Say, look, you are the only thing stopping me from walking in heaven's reality mm-hmm. is me.
Right.
Nobody else.
Nobody else.
Right? It's me accepting this is who I am. This is who he is. I just want to be about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I just need to start shedding all this stuff, these lies in my head that says I'm not good enough because I didn't do something. I can't be accepted because I did this last week, because I have this failure in my life. Whatever, right? Paul says in Corinthians, makes it really clear, it is purely because of him that we're in Christ Jesus,
right?
Right? So our faith story is, right, he fills my tank. I'm connected with him, and he totally fills my love tank up, right? The reason I am his son is completely his doing, right? I can't earn that position. I can't work for that position. I don't perform for that position.
Right.
So here you go. Everybody, oh, hey, it's your Father's Day. Right there, you go, fathers. Right, don't. Remember our assignment, our strategic assignment is helping people see how they're connected to him. They're made in his image, created to connect. That he wants to fill them and totally he totally satisfied them so they can be lovers. They can be connectors. That's our job, right? So as fathers, and in this sense. You all have father's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You, right? It's not a, the woke crowd will like this. It's not a gender thing, right? It's not. We're created to, we're created to reveal the heart of the Father.
Right.
And so, and we do that by being him before them. We do that by representing the Father to them, right? And that's, so when I come to believe I'm made in his image, right? When I come to, like, wake up to this revelation, not only am I created in his image, right? I share his nature and his likeness, right? And by, oh, here we go. His, and his likeness was Father. His likeness was loving Father, good Father, compassionate Father, right? Not angry Father. Not you better or else Father, right? It's like then when I start to wake up to this, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, guess what I find out? I'm starting to be like him, right? And the extent to which I'm willing to, like, the extent I'm willing to humble myself, right?
Surrender
myself. There you go. I like that. The extent I'm willing to surrender myself and submit to that. Remember, we started off with this. We find ourselves justifying our actions. And it's like, well, the reason this isn't going so well is Darla, right? And so you know, if Darla would fix this, we'd be okay. This would be better, right? So when I submit myself and I realize, whoa, here's who he's created me to be. Here's how he's created me to love, right? My spirit created in his image, and I realize, whoa, when I do that, when my faith, Paul says it's impossible to love without faith. So when my faith is anchored that way, all of a sudden I realize, wow, now his love is flowing through me. So it's not about her. It's about my faith anchoring me, securing me. And I was like, oh, this is easy. I can do this, right? So we can live unoffended. We can live without criticism. You know, we can walk in a way that criticism, I'm not derailed by criticism, right? So I'll stop with that. I was sharing Darla about the, you know, more of last week. I had a conversation with somebody about, boy, we could do this in our workplace. We could build this. And they went, well, yeah, if it wasn't for this department head and this division head and these people. And it's like, actually, no, it's not that. Right here, you and I, right here. So
it's almost like a grassroots.
Yeah. So
bottom up.
So if you're worried, like, hey, wait a second, we're just a little home church. Right here.
Right here,
anchored in our faith, mm-hmm. We demonstrate love, and what if right today you go home and all of a sudden there's an opportunity to, like, oh, love on somebody in a way that changes their life, and all of a sudden we got this Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life thing going on, because everybody's being impacted by, wow, this simple, my love tank is full, so I can connect with you. Right? So Father, we just say yes to your filling of our tanks, God. We anchor ourselves by our faith, God. We say thank you for your love. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you for pouring into us, God. Thank you for affirming us, receiving us, forgiving us, God. Just so we can be lovers like you. So we just say yes to the strategic plans of the week, God, that heaven has for us. We say yes to encounters, the love in our encounters, God. We say yes to the workplace moments where your love is released, God. We say yes to our neighborhood walks, God, where your word is released on our neighbors, God. So we bless our family here today. We bless their homes. We bless their neighborhoods, God, and their businesses. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.